When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to I Am the Cute One, the most chaotic school dance in the podcast universe.
Let's spike the punch, grind to Usher, and talk about our favorite topic, ourselves. Hello, I am Chelsea, and I am the Cute One.
And I am Donnie, and I am the Cute One.
And we are here today to cover Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
Yeah, baby!
I have to say, this is my first time back moderating. You took the reins over Donnie Appreciation Month. So, cuties, if you haven't picked up on the trend, usually it's like, I pick and moderate a movie, Donnie picks and moderates a movie. He was a control freak during Donnie Appreciation Month. And honestly, I don't mind. I felt so out of practice. This movie, like, nothing matters. Everything matters and nothing matters. And also, we're not the type of podcast that, like, quotes word for word or like scene by scene. So I was really struggling.
It was a tough one. So I am glad it wasn't me. I'm sorry it was you, but I'm glad it wasn't me.
But that being said, the fact that we aren't a podcast that quotes word for word or scene by scene, I do feel like at the top of the episode, it would be important for us just to purge a bit, maybe get it out of our system, because you and I have both said that this movie was a formative personality trait for the two of us in our teenage years. So let's each take a turn and maybe just get some impressions out of our system.
Yeah.
You start us off.
Do I make you horny, Randy? Do I make you horny, baby? Yeah, do I? Thank you. Thank you.
Marvelous.
Your turn.
Yeah, baby. This movie could be one that I quote from H to T, as Tyra would say. Like, I could quote it in its entirety. I feel like every scene is equally important and formative and iconic, and also doesn't matter at all. So I'm going to do my best. And then the good news is I have like a weird amount of Mike Myers knowledge. So if we need to fill in the gaps, I can just, you know, hit you with that.
What a crazy thing to say.
You know, like, did you know that George Harrison of the Beatles, the last letter he ever wrote was to Mike Myers talking about Austin Powers and how much he enjoyed it?
I didn't know that.
Well, now you know. That's just the tip of the iceberg of the Mike Myers well of knowledge I possess.
Wow. Okay.
So this movie premiered May 2nd, 1997. It was a Friday. The number one song on the U.S. charts was the Notorious B.I.G. Liar, Liar was at the top of the box office. Donald Trump and Marla Maples announced their separation, and Eddie Murphy was arrested with a sex worker, although his publicist insisted he was just giving them a ride home. And then, this is where it gets strange, because I wanted to hit you with, you know, how many nickels you could have collected or how many thimbles you could stack to get to the moon. This website that I go to get those little bits of trivia, it took a turn. It's officially gotten a little bit too weird for even me, because I scrolled down, you know, hoping to get like, if you were born on this day, how old would you be in dog years? Instead, it said, if you were born on this day, what were you in a past life? I don't know how you feel about this, but you were a male in your last earthly incarnation. You were born somewhere around the territory of Italy, approximately around 1550. Your profession? Farmer, weaver, tailor.
Well, you know what? That makes sense, because buongiorno, boys.
Yeah, it was an odd one. So if you were born on that day, congrats. You may have been Austin Powers' boots.
But I'm glad that they gave you that, because now you know how I feel anytime you open your mouth when you quote that website.
Now, will I learn my lesson? Absolutely not. In 2 weeks, I'll be right back there. So we have talked about this movie, again, being a formative obsession for both of us. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your first time seeing this film, your general thoughts. How was it doing a rewatch.
I don't know my first time seeing it, but I do know I saw the third one as a midnight release. Mm. And it was on a Thursday because it was released on a Friday. So I went Thursday at midnight, which means on a school night, I was out until like 2:30 a.m. and then had to wake up at like 6:30 for school. So that was quite an accomplishment. In terms of the first movie, I had a lot of merch. I had a keychain where you could press buttons and it spoke to you. I had t-shirts. I believe I had a Christmas ornament.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny doing a rewatch of it because this was a movie in 1997. I was 8. And I do remember that my dad let me and my brother watch it at the time. So I was 8. My brother was 6. And originally, it's like the potty humor that got us. Like, oh my God, he's taking forever to pee. And then the other one we always quote from one of the movies is, it's a bit nutty when he just drinks that shit, etc. But now rewatching, I'm like, oh yeah, right. It's also like extremely perverted.
It is.
It just went completely over my head as like an 8-year-old.
Well, that's okay. I think when it goes over your head as a kid, you're allowed to watch it. I think if you semi-understand it and you're too young for it, that's when it's inappropriate. Mm.
That's a great parenting
Thank
tip.
You. I'll tell you that if I ever tell your kids to watch something. Now, as far as, like, the references and stuff, the things that went over my head were all the James Bond, like, references. Because I'm not a James Bond boy. The only one I've ever seen is the Halle Berry one. And that's only because it was Halle Berry. However, there was some network. It was either TV Land or, like, USA or something like that. But they were doing a James Bond marathon. But then they did, like, those funny commercials to try to hook you, you know? And the one, they took a character's name. Oh my God, I'm so mucusy.
Did you just spit?
No, I just, like a bull, but I didn't want to do it on camera.
Thank you.
What if I did spit on the floor like it was the Texas Roadhouse?
I mean, I don't know if snotting on the floor is better if we're going
That's
over
true.
It.
That's true. So there was a commercial on whatever network it was, because in Austin Powers, the character's name is a lot of vagina, but in an James Bond movie, her name is
Octopussy.
Oh, her too. But Pussy Galore is the one that this commercial highlighted. And the whole commercial was just her introducing herself first, and then they just repeated it for like 30 seconds. Pussy Galore, Pussy Galore, Pussy Galore. Like that. Like that. So I was obsessed with that. I said it often.
Pussy Galore.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to say that word, but I was allowed to quote that commercial.
A nice loophole you found there.
I did.
That's
Thank
wonderful.
You, USA or whatever network you were.
Yeah, the James Bond references went completely over my head too, because it wasn't until quarantine when Dr. Bald made me watch some of the James Bond movies. And the whole time I was like, oh, this is like Austin Powers. And he was like, no, Austin Powers is like this. Like, this is the satire. And I'm like, this is a whole other element I was unaware of.
Yeah.
Again, back to my Mike Myers knowledge, Mike Myers talks about this movie, and I really encourage everybody go to YouTube. First of all, subscribe to our YouTube channel, I Am the Cute One Podcast, and then go to YouTube and watch his Vanity Fair interviews, because they're really well done. Mm. But he talks about if he were to ever write a book about comedy, which he won't, he would call it In Praise of Silly, because he thinks silliness is the best medium to get ideas across. Mm. And I really think that he might be a fan of I Am the Cute One.
He's our very own Cillian Murphy.
But yeah, rewatching this, I was nervous because it had been a few years since I had ventured down into this world. And pleasantly surprised. There's certainly things that are very 1997 about it, but overall, I'm pleased.
Yeah, I have no problems. And if I don't, a cis white male, then nobody should.
Groovy, baby. So if today's episode makes you laugh or scream, or want to do a deep dive on Mike Myers trivia, please do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. A 5-star review is the easiest way to help us grow our audience and this community. And I know we say it every week, but we really do appreciate it. And if you leave us a 5-star review, you are in me and Donnie's text chain, because we do screenshot it to each other when one of us is having a bad day. Like, oh, look, people like us.
Yeah. And I've been having a few bad days and there hasn't been a new review. So make me smile, please.
Do you have any background info or trivia for us today?
A lot, actually. So it was written by Mike Myers, who also wrote Wayne's World, seasons 14 and 15 of Saturday Night Live, The Love Guru, and then whatever this is, a TV show called The Pentaverte, about a Canadian journalist who gets in over his head. Mm-hmm. You know it? You shook your head yes.
Yeah, that was when he did that Vanity Fair interview. He was promoting that show that I think quite literally nobody watched. I was curious because they played some clips in it, and and Key from Key and Peele is the other main actor of it. Like, he is the person who's going into this, like, Illuminati den, and Mike Myers plays all the characters.
God. Mm-hmm. Exhausting. Okay. It was directed by Jay Roach. And normally I just list a movie or two they directed, but I could write Jay Roach's full biography with the information I brought today. He wrote all three Austin Powers movies, Meet the Parents and Meet the Fockers, and was originally going to direct 50 First Dates, but he dropped out due to scheduling conflicts. However, something happened to him in 2008. I don't know what. But from then on, he only did political movies. He was a changed man. He did Recount about the 2000 election, Game Change about Sarah Palin, The Campaign with Zach Galifianakis and Will Ferrell. Okay. The Brink about World War III, All the Way about Lyndon B. Johnson, and Bombshell about the sexual harassment at Fox News. So I don't know how you went from Austin Powers to that, but he did.
Wow, his autobiography would not be about silliness after 2008.
No, certainly not. However, that Sarah Palin movie is incredible.
Really? You've watched it?
Numerous times.
Is it a documentary?
No, it's Julianne Moore as Sarah Palin.
Wow.
And she does great. Huh. Yeah. I also love Bombshell, but that's a heavier topic. Can't really giggle about sexual assault. You can giggle about Sarah Palin being an idiot.
She can see Russia from her house, I heard.
She can. The budget. Oh, this can be a Patreon exclusive. Cuties, last week I did say the budget of Empire Records was like $15,000 or something. That was wrong. It did make that amount. The amount I said is what it made. Like, it made $270,000. A true flop. However, it cost $10 million to make, which sounds correct.
That does sound correct. And I love that you want me to make it a Patreon exclusive. This is going on the main
feed.
Well,
just because I felt like I threw it in.
Well, we're talking about the budget, so I think that's a natural segue. But how come when I make a mistake, when I accidentally credit Oppenheimer to some random dude, I get a full dissertation prequel to the main episode, but when you make a mistake, you're like, you can put it behind the paywall. Only the Patreon cuties need to know about this.
Well, you can make a thing at the beginning if you want. I just don't know if right here in the middle, once we found our groove and flow, is the place to throw it. I was just trying to make it an easier listening experience, but if you want to be jarring, that's up to you. But cuties, if you're jarred, know whose fault it is.
I'm gonna add music that's like da-da-da, da-da-da, the Sports Center chime to let everybody know we've got breaking news.
Speaking of, I hate sports radio. And whenever I'm in an Uber and they're listening to one, it makes me miserable.
I had an uncovered forgotten memory the other day, not in a dark way, not in a Bombshell way, but I suddenly recalled, because Dr. Bald has been listening to this podcast called Guys or something, where it's all about different types of guys. So it's like college football guys, Dungeons and Dragon guys, and it does deep dives on different types of guys. My personal nightmare, because, you know, famously, I don't want to know anything about any type of guys, but he's really enjoying himself. And he got to the sports talk radio guys, and it was like I had been Men in Black, and then whatever potion they do in Eternal Sunshine at the end to remember that they love each other happened to me.
Spoiler alert! You are the worst.
I'm on a roll today. Oh my God, it's Freaky Friday, and me and Donnie have traded places. I'm so sorry, cuties. But my dad used to drive around in his little gray Jeep and his giant clunky-ass Nokia, taking us to various sports practices, and he would be boop, 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 calling in, talking about the former name of the Washington football team, just giving his opinions, giving his hot takes. And I was like, you know what? That really tracks, because my dad and I share a lot of similarities. And that was the 90s equivalent of having a podcast in your basement.
That's
to be
true.
A regular caller at a sports talk radio.
Now, you know what? I never called sports talk radio, of course, but I hated that because of volume levels, you had to turn your radio off, because then you couldn't even hear yourself on the radio.
You could always catch the last, like, 30 seconds, though, because it was a delay.
Yeah.
He would hang up, and we would all get quiet, and he'd turn on the radio so we could listen to the last 30 seconds together. Even though we had just heard everything that he had to say about Dan Snyder.
Dan Snyder?
The Washington football team's commissioner. Famously a very evil, terrible man.
Oh, I thought that was the Nickelodeon Bombshell guy.
Is he both?
Probably.
I think it's Dan Schneider.
Yeah, no, that sounds right. So the budget was $16.5 million, and it made $67 million, a success. Roger Ebert saw this movie and gave it a 3 out of 4. He loved it. However, his review is nothing funny. He doesn't compare it to any other movies. He literally just tells the plot of it and says how good all of the actors are. So I didn't come with like a little clip because... what's there to say? But he had a great time.
I agree. I also don't have much to say, but I loved it.
Perfect. As for the taglines, your three options are shag now, shag later, or put it in a pool with sharks with laser beams on their heads. Okay? The first one is, if he were any cooler, he'd still be frozen, baby.
God, this is hard because I think if it were any other movie, I'd hate it. But yet, I love it. I'm going to shag it later. Let him thaw a bit.
Okay, perfect. Frozen in the 60s, thawing spring 97, baby.
That one can be with the sea bass with the lasers. Yeah.
And the last one, they were really obsessed with the fact that he was frozen. The third one is debonair, defiant, defrosted.
Okay, well, you know that I love an alliteration, so I'm fine with shagging that one now.
Okay, perfect.
Feel good about it.
I just feel like there's many other plot points we could have focused on in taglines besides the fact he was frozen, but maybe that's their thesis statement.
Yeah, not even like, you want to see this movie? Yeah, baby.
Right.
Something.
We should work for a tagline.
But I guess because it was the first movie, people didn't know the catchphrases yet. And I do think it was a pretty iconic image of him frozen with his little crooked glasses. That's probably the poster was.
Okay, you're right. You're right. As for trivia, I only brought two things to say because I want to get right into the movie.
Well, don't worry. I've got us covered.
I also knew that was probably the case. But if you go on IMDb, there's literally hundreds of things of trivia about this movie. But the first one I want to talk about, and this is why I was so excited when you said Liar Liar in This Week On, because Mike Myers originally wanted Jim Carrey to play Dr. Evil, but he had scheduling conflicts filming Liar Liar.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I love the chutzpah of being like, all right, we can't get Jim Carrey, so I guess I got to do it.
I always say, if we can't get Jim Carrey, why not me? Also, every Austin Powers movie that was released the same year as a James Bond movie.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
That's it.
Okay. So what character, if any, do you identify as from this film?
I think 100%, without a doubt, I am Austin Danger Powers for numerous reasons. I'm a pervert. I'm loud. I am aware of social cues where he's not, but I don't really follow them. I dance in the streets. I pee a lot. I used to own a penis enlarger pump, and I love a good catchphrase.
The more you know. Do penis pumps work?
It's like Viagra in the fact that, like, it doesn't make it bigger over time, which is what I wanted. Like, I just wanted to use it every day as, like, skincare, workout, take a shower, use the penis enlarger pump. And over time, it'll add, like, 3 inches. But it just brings all the blood to it. Like, if someone were to come over and I used it really quick, it would make it bigger because you suction cupped it for 5 minutes.
Oh, it's the original Kylie Jenner challenge.
Yeah.
When all those teenagers were taking those bottle caps.
Uh-huh. That's what it is exactly.
Okay. I am Vanessa because I talk a big game about morals and values, but at the end of the day, give me some champagne and I'm rolling around right there with the pigs.
Oink oink, baby.
Like what you're hearing? Head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for more.
There you can find uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes.
That's patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne. See you there. So now is the time. We are going to have a cutie call-in, a celebrity guest, to give us our 1-minute synopsis. So take it away, cutie.
Hey, y'all. It's Reba. Oh, is that... a single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids and never stops? Oh no, must be the second best thing. An international man of mystery. I'm talking about Austin Powers, y'all. He was frozen from the 1960s, but then he was thawed, and the government said to him, here's your one chance, Fanta, don't let me down. And he was brought back to fight, that's right, Dr. Evil. So after some sexual innuendos and some will they, won't they, with his assistant's daughter, he finally saves the day and ends up with the girl. And that's Austin Powers, y'all.
Wow, thanks. Good one. Okay. It's 1967, and in an underground lair somewhere outside of Las Vegas, Dr. Evil is angry with the world's deadliest assassins. And when Dr. Evil gets angry, Mr. Bigglesworth, not yet a dog, gets upset. And when Mr. Bigglesworth gets upset, people die. Dun, dun, dun. Now, I have mentioned this Dr. Evil impression is an impression of Lorne Michaels.
You have.
But I haven't gone into detail about the drama between Dana Carvey and Mike Myers about it, because Dana Carvey went on Howard Stern and said, like, no, that was my impression that I used to do backstage. I never did it on camera because I wasn't going to bite the hand that fed me. But that was my impression that Mike Myers stole and created this entire franchise with. And the damning evidence was that Dana Carvey said that when he did his impression, he added the little pinky to the mouth, which like Lorne never did. That wasn't something he did. It just like flowed with the character.
Yeah.
It like added to what a menace he was. So that was like the smoking gun. That's my impression. But they since have made up. They reprised their Wayne World characters at the 2019 Oscars and then again in the 2021 Super Bowl commercial for Uber Eats. And when Dana Carvey went back on Howard Stern, he said that they never talked about it. He's been to therapy and that they've like moved forward in their friendship.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine living with that. If that's true, if he did steal that impression, I would feel so terrible because, like, I feel guilty when I say, get a life, because that is a Sarah Michelle Gellar quote that, like, you have introduced me to. Like, I feel guilty at that level that I'm, like, stealing your bits. I couldn't imagine stealing an entire, like, franchise from someone.
No, I feel like that is more targeted. Now, if you got famous from doing Get a Life, that's when we would need to have a press conference about
it. Well, that's when now we can roll the tapes. True. And we can play this podcast where I do credit.
Okay, fair enough. Also, when I write in all lowercase letters, it just looks better. So I credit you for giving me the idea, but you didn't invent it.
True. Some setting got changed around the year 2015 in my phone, and I've been typing in lowercase ever since.
Mm.
But also with the Get a Life thing, we do know, if you are a Patreon cutie, if you've been listening to our comeback episodes, we do know that I have E. coli, whatever that thing is that people keep telling us the thing.
Alopecia.
Yeah, something. Where I just have that vocal tics. And so truly, get a life. I say it like 10 times a day now. So I'm just officially saying I am not Mike Myers. He is not Dana Carvey. I am crediting this Sarah Michelle Gellar impression to Donnie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now that I've gotten that off my chest, off my heart, there's only one man that can stop Dr. Evil. Enter our man of mystery, strutting down the street, the ultimate gentleman spy. Irresistible to women, deadly to his enemies, a legend in his own time, Austin Powers. Oh, behave! And they have just received word that Dr. Evil is planning a trap at the electric, psychedelic Pussycat Swingers Club. And after some good old-fashioned 90s transphobia by showing everybody that that ain't no man, baby, Austin Powers manages to thwart Dr. Evil's assassins. But alas, Dr. Evil manages to escape, cryogenically freezing himself and blasting off into space inside of a Bob's Big Boy, planning to return at a time when free love no longer reigns and greed and corruption rule again. So it's 30 years later, and he's back. Austin Powers, having also gone the Walt Disney route, is thrown into some warm goo, takes the world's longest pee, and is reanimated to battle his nemesis in a new decade. And I just wanted to bring up that Walt Disney reference because since you mentioned that conspiracy theory, I can't stop thinking about it. So, haha, Disney, now you have to make another Frozen movie.
They are. They knew.
They knew I was going to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
That frozen head. But a lot has happened since he was frozen. The Cold War is over, capitalism has won, and his previous sidekick, Mrs. Kensington, has long since retired. However, he is paired with her daughter, Vanessa. She's one of their top agents, and she does not like to be called baby.
I don't know why. Get a life.
Would there be any world or any circumstance where you would be okay with being frozen and like de-thawed decades later? Because I feel like it never ends well. It's like actively choosing a coma.
Yeah, but a coma they're going to bring you out of.
But then you miss everything. I have such FOMO. I don't think I could handle it.
That's true. And then you are set up to be like the loser.
Yeah.
Because you don't know trends. You don't know pop culture. Yeah, that is very true.
I always
true.
Think about that because if we were to get frozen now, the rate at which technology advances, we would be waking up and everybody would be living in that WALL-E movie and we'd be looking around like, what's going on here?
No, I wouldn't look like that. I would plop my ass in that seat immediately and wheel around with my Big Mac and McDonald's. That is a universe I could get behind very quickly.
I forgot that your takeaway from WALL-E is that those people were really doing it right.
Living in luxury. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. Ooh, I just thought of a Chalchella movie. Idiocracy. What? With Luke Wilson, my husband. Have you never seen it?
Never.
You're going to hate
Great.
It.
Great. That can be your finale. Because remember, I did a good job all month.
This might be your sucker punch. Yeah.
The cast is relatively fine, but it's still from the creator of Beavis and Butthead and Office Space. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Beavis and Butthead makes me itch, Chelsea. I can't watch it. I never watched it because it makes me itch. A lot of TV makes me itch sometimes.
Are you sure it's not a resurgence of those scabies?
No, it could be psoriasis. However, I really need to blow my nose. Hold this thought. Okay. Do a monologue, Chelsea.
Okay, here we go. But then if you're not reading this fairy porn book, you're probably following me like, what the fuck did I sign up for? But you guys, I just got to the part with the giant worm. Okay, I'm going to leave it
for
there.
For the kitties who suffered through the first half hour of this recording, where it sounded like I shoved marbles up my nose, I famously am a vegan. Being dairy-free helps your sinuses, helps you to be able to breathe. You don't snore as much if you're dairy-free. So that's a big reason I went on this vegan journey. However, for my birthday, I went off of it so I could enjoy things such as veal parmesan, ice cream, etc. But then I knew I had other big events coming up as well. Easter, where I thought I was getting a two-meat platter with your family. My friend's birthday dinner in the Bronx at an Italian place, so I wanted veal parm there. Chelsea keeps trying to open her mouth.
I'm not speaking. You just interrupted yourself to point out that I want to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Let me just drink my coffee. You go ahead.
Then my sister's wedding shower, where it was at an Italian restaurant. So there were three options.
And it was veal parmesan again.
No, chicken parm, though. Chicken parm. If I was on a deserted island, I could eat chicken parm every day for the rest of my life.
Okay.
What would be your deserted island food?
Sushi. And it would work because I could just catch my own fish.
I could cook my own chicken.
You're going to slaughter a chicken every day?
They do on Survivor.
You're a great vegan.
I am. Okay, so now, yesterday, I went back to being vegan. All those events are over. I can be vegan again. However, sometimes because of years of experience of like fad dieting and not giving my body enough nutrients and all of that, mm-hmm. I start my day doing it right, which means not taking in enough calories. So then by the end of the night, I'm like, I need to eat everything in sight. Let's binge, baby. So yesterday I had my avocado toast at breakfast and then I had something light with lettuce for lunch. Oh, soup and a salad for lunch. Then by the time dinner came around, I was like, I need Wingstop. So then I ordered Wingstop and cheese fries. And then because I ordered that, I was like, I already broke the diet and ate dairy. Might as well just order a pint of ice cream. So I did that as well. So now I have all this dairy in my system. And that is why I sounded like that the first half hour of this show.
Well, thank you for blowing your nose.
You're welcome.
I'm not the pinnacle of health and wellness, and certainly my habits are not healthy enough for me to cast stones while I sit in this glass house. But I do think that there are benefits to you not eating that veal parmesan.
Well, here's the thing. I said it to myself out loud today in the kitchen to myself. I said, I don't need to be vegan necessarily. I think I can strive for veganism, but non-dairy is like a non-negotiable. If I want to dabble in like a baby cow and a salad, let's get crazy.
Yeah, just say hold the cheese.
Exactly.
Well, that's middle ground. That's like, I feel like more attainable than trying to go the full route. It's like how I'm trying to drink more water recently. And so I just do things like, look, I have water next to me. And when I think of it, I take a sip of water. And now I've already had more water than I had before.
You're very right. I agree. Now, that hand that you used to pick up that water cup, I want you to use it to Google, is seltzer water as healthy as regular water? Because every time I say I drink seltzer water that's better than soda.
It is better than soda.
It is better than soda, but you tell me it's not as good as regular water. So then, because I can never be wrong, I Googled it the other day, and it said drinking seltzer water exclusively is just fine, as long as it's not a brand that does all those extra stuff. But if you just drink carbonated water, which I do, it's fine.
Well, you're one step closer to your Wally existence.
Cuties, you know I cannot see a movie without pretending I'm in it, and now it's your turn. Have you ever tried to use the Force when no one's looking or thought about what superheroes would win in a fight? Then you'll want to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, and visit Sideshow.com. Your eyes do not deceive you. They have a life-size, impeccably detailed replica of the child from Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but Sideshow did send me the child. I call him Baby Yoda. I have since learned that is not his name, but he is my son now, so I will be continuing to call him as such. And we have been playing dress up, having photo shoots, and just having a grand old time. But if that one doesn't speak to you, how about a movie-accurate statue of Christopher Reeve as Superman?
They got that too.
But just wait until you see the incredibly lifelike figures of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
We are thrilled to have Sideshow sponsoring our podcast today. They offer a wide selection of premium figures, statues, and fine art from the worlds of Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and so much more.
These limited edition, handcrafted, officially licensed collectibles bring pop culture's biggest icons to life in your home.
And here is the best part. You can get an exclusive $50 off your first order of $200 or more. It's a great opportunity for new customers to dive into the world of high-quality collectibles. Or you can gift it to that super geek in your life.
Perhaps that person in your life that you know would cringe when they hear that I've been letting my daughter sleep with my Baby Yoda. And again, that I refuse to stop calling it Baby Yoda.
Plus, shopping at Sideshow earns you 5% back in Sideshow rewards, meaning for every $100 spent, you get $5 back in rewards that can be used on future purchases. While geeking out is its own reward, your collection goes farther with Sideshow. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Sideshow.com, promo code CUTEONE right now, and get ready to let your geek side show.
Oh, that's clever. Sideshow. Like Sideshow.com? I get it. At his secret lair, Dr. Evil introduces his squad of baddies. We've got Frau, we've got Random Task, which Dr. Ball did tell me that's one of those James Bond references.
Uh-huh.
Because in James Bond, I guess it's called Odd Job.
The actor that played him went to prison for like 20 years or whatever for like domestic abuse or assault or something. Ooh. Very not fun. But then, this is not fun either, but it is, like, a little scandalous. Then, when it was time for him to be released, he killed his cellmate. So then they kept him in.
It's weird that Jerry Springer makes you itch, because that is just right off the bat a Jerry Springer
But here's
episode.
The thing. I'm just hearing about it here. I don't have to watch him and his family, who, like, clearly have cockroaches running across their kitchen sink as they fight and their guts hang out and their, like, pussies are blurred. You know what I mean?
Well, we all have our limits. I wasn't a big Jerry Springer fan, but my brother did love the Steve Wilkow show, which was when his security guard got a spinoff show that was just the Jerry Springer show, but with a bald-headed man instead. And all of our friends would once a year go skiing together, but my brother doesn't like skiing. So we would all go out, we would be skiing all day, and then he would just stay in the condo and drink beer and watch Steve Wilkow.
Your brother did that?
Uh-huh. Disgusting. Isn't that so, like, off-brand for him?
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's, like, a very funny niche interest that he has.
Now, I will say my only exception.
We are never going to get through this episode.
You said there was nothing to talk about. I'm okay. Giving it to you.
Go ahead.
My only exception is during MTV Spring Break when Jerry Springer hosted his little show on stage and it was like young, hot
people
in bathing
suits. But this
gets
back to the hots versus the nots, because if it's a hot girl with a pussy blurred, yeah. You're like, woo!
You're right.
All roads lead back to the nots.
I want to do a movie where I have to go, maybe it can be an episode of Homicide where I go undercover as a woman detective every week. I want to do a movie or episode of Homicide where I have to go undercover at spring break, but like in my current 40-year-old body.
And you enter the wet t-shirt contest.
Yeah, and then I get sad and depressed for a little bit, a story arc, because the hots don't accept me.
But then you eat some veal parmesan and you feel better.
Yeah, that brings everyone together.
And then you have so much mucus in your nose that you snuff out the bad guy.
That's okay. Good.
So we've got Frau, we've got Random Task, we have Patty O'Brien and his Lucky Charms, and we have number two. And while Dr. Evil struggles to come up with a plan to take over the world, first suggesting that they accuse Prince Charles of an affair, then threatening to destroy the ozone layer, he eventually settles on an old faithful, hijacking nuclear weapons to hold the world hostage for $1 million. But the fun doesn't stop there, and Dr. Ball gets his... In my outline, I put Dr. I'm so used to typing Dr. Ball. I was like, Dr. Ball gets a surprise of his own. Uh-oh. But the fun doesn't stop there. And Dr. Evil gets a surprise of his own. It turns out, speaking of Jerry Springer, he has a son. And Scott Evil, Gen X teenager extraordinaire, is pissed.
A few things. One, I don't know if you missed it or ignored it, but Patreon cuties, you will see when she said Dr. Bald gets a surprise of his own, I did pretend Chelsea put two fingers up his butthole.
I did miss that because I was editing my outline.
Second, another little fun giggle-worthy fact is this movie came out the year Princess Diana died, so in the UK, they removed that line about the Prince Charles affair.
Get a life.
And number three, Seth Green doesn't do it for me.
Really?
Like, he doesn't turn me away. I can watch a movie and enjoy it that he's in. But, like, I will never see him in a cast and say, like, oh, I need to see that.
He's had a really weirdly illustrious career. Yeah. In a recent podcast, he said that he only made $15,000 for this movie. And he auditioned for Carrot Top's movie, where he got it. He booked the part, and he was going to be friend number three in Carrot Top's movie. Or he got Scott Evil in this movie. And he, like, legitimately debated, because everybody read the script and was like, I don't know about all this. Like, everybody was very nervous about this essentially, like, SNL sketch being a movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
It is.
So, obviously, I think Seth Green made the correct choice. And so, after collecting his personal items, Austin and Vanessa charter his private jet to track down Dr. Evil's lackeys. But first, Austin wants to see if his twig and berries still work. Now, in the 60s, you could be a sex symbol and have bad teeth. But alas, his old tricks just don't hit the same in the 90s. And while Vanessa's mom is impressed that Vanessa is able to resist Austin's charm, Vanessa says she wouldn't have sex with him if he was the last man on Earth. It's weird that Vanessa's mom is, like, giddy for her daughter to fuck this man, right? Like, it's a weird dynamic.
Very much so. Because she clearly fucked him herself.
And then she's talking about, like, women want him, men want to be him. And then is, like, asking for the dirty details. Like, Vanessa, you didn't! And she's like, no, mom, I didn't fuck this old creep. What the fuck? Like, it's just a really weird vibe. I would not want to, like, share a boyfriend who had been cryogenically frozen with my mother.
No. Not one bit. Well, I would make exceptions, depending on what he looked like, but not Austin Powers. Would you have sex with Austin Powers if he was the last man on Earth and you were the last woman on Earth?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. And here's why. They would look like him. So you are Adam and Eve-ing with Austin Powers. Like, at that point, let's just ride it out. We don't need any more humans. And then there will be inbredness.
Overlooking the siblings fucking eventually, that is going to happen at some point down the line. I think beauty standards would just change. If you are the only people left, then all of a sudden, bad teeth and a super hairy penis-shaped chest, it's all the rage. It's in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I would fall victim to Austin Powers' charm. Dr. Bald calls my best friends, and congratulations, you're in the fold now. But he calls all of the people I consider my very best friends my band of misfit toys, because I do love people who are weird, but who are like authentically weird. Like they are just themselves and they're not going to change. And Austin Powers, say what you will about him, but he is just him, you know? So I think eventually he would win me over.
That makes sense. Also, in my head, I was going to say that Austin Powers and whoever was the last woman on Earth, in this instance you, could just do it like lions do so that brothers and sisters don't have to fuck. But that means the parents fuck the kids instead. So I take that back. The front of my brain worked faster than the full thing. So it came as a really good idea, and then it trickled back and I said, wait a second.
To quote Madeline's school teacher, something is not right.
Certainly not, but lions do it. Lion King, Nala is his mistress and his mother.
Posing as a married couple on vacation, Austin and Vanessa, aka Richie and Oprah Cunningham, track Dr. Evil's henchman, number two, all the way to Las Vegas. There, they live dangerously, play a game of battleships with Tom Arnold, and find out exactly who number two works for.
Two things. One, I never told you the full story about what happened when I visited my friend in Virginia. And those fucking Mennonite people came on and did Spring Awakening to me or whatever it's called.
So I was following that story closely, but please catch everybody up to speed, because I was concerned, and I didn't know if I was concerned for your safety or for theirs, because you were really working yourself up into quite a tizzy on those Instagram stories.
So I was supposed to take the train from New York City to a place in the middle of Virginia. However, once we got past Pennsylvania, we were in Delaware, and all of these Mennonite people got on. Delaware, why are you there? Makes me nervous.
I think anybody could be asked that question. Delaware, the state, could be asked. Delaware, why are you there?
Put it on the billboard as you drive in. Then they sat around me. I was here by myself. There was another gay across the aisle by himself. And then they sat two pairs of two in front and behind each of us. Very scary. Then I heard one older woman that looks like that old lady holding like the gun or whatever that stormed the Capitol. You're familiar.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the painting that Nicole and Paris recreated.
Similar to that as well. She asked the, and probably they just wanted to move seats. If I am trying to really think and not be scared, she probably just wanted to take my seat. But she said to the conductor person taking tickets, what stop does he get off of? And I was nervous for my safety. Then they decided to not sit in their seats and congregate around me and the other gay. So one person stayed in their seat and everybody else was in the aisle leaning over seats talking to this woman in her seat. And it was not in English. So I probably, again, Pennsylvania Dutch, speaking some kind of German, whatever. But it sounded like spells. I was afraid. Then, then one of them turned to me and said, what's your name? Which is why I'm telling this story in the first place. What's your name? And I panicked. And I said, Nico Centiano. Where that came from?
Is that someone you know?
No.
Nico Centiano.
So, Nico Centiano, I do apologize. If you're a listener, you can unfollow me on Instagram. You're the only one. I understand why. But then I was truly afraid. I was like, I gave these people my name. I didn't. But I gave these people a full name. I need to leave. So, again, I was supposed to get off the train in Virginia, but I got off in D.C. and Ubered the rest of the way.
Donnie. That's crazy.
I was scared.
To celebrate, Austin has a photo shoot of Vanessa's side bangs and takes her out on the town. And after a night of rooftop champagne, Burt Bacharach tunes, Twister, and some couch comedy, a drunken Vanessa finally sees past Austin's plaque and tartar and tries to put the moves on him. But our man of mystery is also a man of consent. And although he congratulates the bug up her ass for finally dying, he denies her advances and instead talks about how much he wanted to fuck her mom. Again, I have questions about this dynamic. Like, what is Thanksgiving going to be like? So drunk-ass Vanessa is passed out, but Austin still has a job to do. It's time for a Project Vulcan recon mission. So he heads to the penthouse of number two's secretary, a lot of vagina. Once there, Austin is able to achieve extreme relaxation and seduce Miss Vagina with his back hair and a poem about farts, and soon discovers Dr. Evil's plans to drill a nuclear warhead into the Earth's core and trigger volcanic eruptions worldwide. And even worse, he's somehow involved in the Carrot Top movie.
Every time they said this woman's name, which, by the way, it's spelled Fagina. So that's cute. That's going to be my new drag name. However, every time they said her name, Alexa thought she was being spoken to.
I love that for her.
I don't. I have her in every room. I am one step closer to being a Wally person. I have a Alexa in every room of the house. And my apartment is only four rooms. Very close
to each
other.
That's a lot of vaginas in your apartment. And so while Dr. Evil attempts to bond with his son at a group therapy session led by Carrie Fisher, Vanessa tries to teach Austin about new spy technology and dental hygiene. Unfortunately, through a series of missteps, including admitting to Vanessa that he raw-dogged Vagina and punching Basil's mother in the face, Austin realizes that times have changed. And it turns out in the 90s, he's a big old dork. And so Austin and Vanessa infiltrate Dr. Evil's lair, sneak past the restricted section, judo chop some guards, and weaponize a steamroller, but are eventually captured, dressed in quasi-futuristic clothes and, much to Scott Evil's dismay, placed in an easily escapable situation involving an overly elaborate and exotic death.
Now, I know that steamroller part was supposed to be funny, that guy could have ran away, ha ha ha. However, I never know if I have enough time to cross the street. A car could be so far down, and I'm like, I don't have enough time to cross, so I wait. And then as it gets closer, I'm like, I could have went. I should go right now. But then I'm like, no, I still don't have enough time. I should wait. And then I'm just waiting all this time. And you know I don't like to waste my time. You know I like to be a fast walker. So when this happens, it annoys me every time, and I'm only mad at myself.
Well, you have a lot of balls sitting here talking to me about not knowing if you have enough time to cross the street, saying that to me and my brown tooth, when you know that there was a time that I did think I had enough time to run across that street and I didn't.
Oh, speaking of teeth, I am not wearing a beanie today. I'm not wearing a backwards cap, but I did just make this face. Uh-huh. And I look like an American Girl doll. Don't you think that's an odd choice for a toy design to give all of your dolls buck teeth?
I think they're just trying to normalize buck teeth for the generations. Because let me tell you something. I'm about to get real with all of you. And I'm sorry. I know you all have your favorites. You got your little colonial doll. You got the slave one. Uh-huh. And maybe I'm coming from a place of judgment because I could never afford an American Girl doll. But American Girl dolls are a certain type of broad. And I think maybe they were trying to normalize those teeth for the girls that would be playing with them.
That's true. However, a lot of the American girls themselves are girls that would collect American Girl dolls, except for my favorite, Samantha. And that is why I'm mad they gave the doll buck teeth, because Samantha would never. She was the hot in the American Girl franchise.
Well, kudos to Samantha. Yeah, I don't even know any of their names. I think I was so spiteful as a child that I was like, I'm going to not even care to learn. I'm not going to read the books. I'm not going to learn anything about these American Girl dolls. Maybe I was just pretending back then to be anti-capitalist, but I was like, fuck those rich-ass dolls. The catalog would come to my house, even though I never purchased anything. And I would peruse through, and it's like you could get a nightdress for your American Girl doll for like a nightdress price.
Wild. But then you could get a nightdress for yourself that matched.
And you could both look like weirdos. You could both look like ghosts haunting the upstairs of some colonial house somewhere.
Now, if you were a ghost, I feel like it wouldn't be as scary to wear these outfits. I would want to change into a colonial garb.
Well, it depends on what type of haunting I'm doing. If I'm a benevolent presence, if I just want to like sprinkle some wind chimes to let my family know that I'm all right and that everything is well on the other side, I would probably just show up in an oversized t-shirt and leggings so that they know like, oh no, she's good. She's got her leggings. Nothing is too tight. She's not wanting to rip off her clothes or unzip her skin. But if I was there to do some terrorizing, I'd be like, let's dirty up a nightgown. Let's put some ketchup splatter, really sell the thing. And then I would be like, ooh.
Yeah, that's good. I think I would wear a veil.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Love that. And if there's a makeup artist in heaven, then maybe you could even get some scary face paint going.
I could also learn how to do that myself.
That's true. You have an infinite amount of time in the afterlife to learn a bunch of new hobbies.
Thank you.
The sky's the limit. So with the help of advances in dental hygiene, they quickly best the mutated sea bass to escape their chamber. And Austin confesses his love for Vanessa and tells her that monogamy is groovy. They split up, Austin making a quick 3-point turn getaway. And soon he comes face to face with the ultimate weapon. Fembots. These sexy cyborgs have bullets in their boobs and their boots were made for walking. Luckily, the Fembots are no match for Austin's mojo, and with the help from baseball, Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day, and a strip tease to the Divinals, their heads explode.
Why do you have no problem with the Fembots? What? Because you love this movie, but the Fembots are basically just sucker punch.
Donnie.
They are. That's how they dress. They got guns in their titties. What's the issue?
The fact that you just made this comparison highlights and cosigns all of my points about Sucker Punch.
But how do you love one and hate
because
another?
Because this is meant to be satire.
So was that. You just don't get it.
We are not doing this. Okay, maybe I don't get Sucker Punch. Maybe Zack Snyder is a genius beyond a genius, because the Fembots are poking fun at women's sexuality being weaponized, but only as powerful as the male gaze in which it derives from. Zack Snyder has done one too many interviews recently explaining Sucker Punch to let me know that Mike Myers was somehow making fun of Sucker Punch 15 years before it came out. I hate you, and I hate Sucker
where
Punch.
Where's my mind?
So with 3 minutes to go before the giant drill penetrates the Earth core, Dr. Evil makes one final pitch to lure Austin to the dark side. After all, everything he loved about the 60s is now considered evil in the 90s. But this little speech is in vain. Austin might be a man of the 60s, but what the swingers were rebelling against were uptight squares like Dr. Evil, whose bag was money and world domination. And so our secret agent man hits the abort mission and the whole world celebrates.
I've seen this movie hundreds of times, but until you read that right now, I never knew that was the thesis statement. So thank you.
You're welcome.
You didn't get Sucker Punch, but I didn't get Austin Powers, an international man of mystery.
And who's to say what's worse? So all's well that ends well, because although Dr. Evil has once again escaped into his rocket, when we flash forward, Austin and his new veneers are happily married to Vanessa. Groovy, baby. The end.
Now, a little spoiler alert, but not really. But my father, the same way he was mad when he found out that redheaded nun in Sister Act didn't really sing, the same way he was mad about something else. I forget. Cuties, if you know what else he was mad about, let me know.
To be honest, you've told a lot of stories about your dad on this podcast, and he's mad about a lot of things.
But, like, his son being gay isn't the same vein as, like, the redhead nun not being able to sing.
Sure.
So there was a story like that I'm forgetting.
Did it have to do with Alyssa Milano?
He was upset also when she did her first nude scene. Uh-huh. He thought she betrayed them as a family. However, he was livid in the sequel when we find out Vanessa's been a fembot all along. He said anything the next two movies have to say are irrelevant. He doesn't even want to watch it.
Not canon in his mind.
Yeah, if they can retcon it like that, he didn't want to see it. He was like, it was the other one's daughter. Her daughter. Why would she agree to that?
I mean, he has some points. So final thoughts. If we were to bring this movie to present day, who would you cast or what would a sequel be? And I'll go first because I just wrote, I don't think we need one. I don't think we need a remake. I don't think we need a sequel. I'm happy with the Super Bowl commercials. Let's leave it at that. Because I think this is just so specifically a moment in time that I don't think it needs to be touched. So with that being said, tell us how you're going to touch it.
Like that.
Somewhere Dr. Ball just went, ooh.
I fully agree. However, with that said, I think the only way to touch it would be a fourth movie, not a remake. I don't want to see other people try to make these characters. I think a fourth movie, and I think it should be the ultimate test. I think that a female spy from the 60s should have been frozen as well, and she's de-thawed now, so she comes back and symbolizes everything that he loved and believed in. But then, he also had all this growth since 1997, so, like, a modern-day female spy played by Renee Rapp, a bisexual, semi-butch woman who's an icon, is also, like, symbolizing everything he has grown to love, and he has to choose in which one he, like, wants to follow along.
Okay. I love that.
Thank you. I don't know how it will end.
We'll have to stay tuned and find out. So, final thoughts. What about this movie aged well, and what aged like blockbuster? Now, I've said several times, wow, it held up better than I was expecting. That being said, we did have Will Ferrell in straight up brown face. Mm-hmm. We also had very questionable costumes when they're infiltrating that lair. Mm-hmm. Lots of transphobia and jokes where the punchline is like, literally, that ain't no man, baby.
Correct, yeah.
And just, you know, a lot of 90s-isms.
Yeah, all of that. And how pushy he was about sex. Like, she said flat out no numerous times, and he still kept trucking.
But I will say one thing that ages well is that he did believe in consent. Like, when she was too drunk, he did say no, which I think was an important random scene to throw in there for so many millions of teenage boys to be watching. Like, I think that was really intentional, and I kind of gasped because I forgot about that element. But the fact that Austin Powers is like, no, you're too drunk. We're just going to lay here and let me tell you about how horny your mom makes me instead.
No, yeah, that's a very good point. And then this is not problematic, but like a lot of the jokes about what he missed or what is no longer relevant or whatever is no longer relevant. So I think like if Gen Z turned on the TV and saw this movie, they just wouldn't get it.
Yes. Also, what ages well, unfortunately, is number two's monologue about how there is no world anymore. There's only corporations. Uh-huh. And the fact that like number two was more evil than Dr. Evil just by capitalizing off of capitalism. Chilling. And finally, the monologue that you missed, Donnie, I'll go ahead and read it for you word for word now, since this is your first time understanding the thesis. But everything that Austin says when he says, what we swingers were rebelling against is uptight squares like you, whose bag was money and world domination. We were innocent, man. If we'd known the consequences of our sexual liberation, we would have done things differently. But the spirit would have remained the same. It's about freedom, baby.
Mm.
Beautiful.
That is.
Poetry.
Now I can really take away from this movie.
So next week, in honor of the reboot, we are covering Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, which I have never seen.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you if you're going to like things or not anymore, because when you don't, it really bothers me.
Again, tune in to find out. We'll leave you on a cliffhanger, cuties. And with that, we will talk to you later.
Love you like a sister.
Thank you for listening to I Am the Cute One. If you want more, head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes, as well as even more bonus content.
And if you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to our show. And to help us grow this community of chaotic cuties, share an episode with a friend you think would pass the vibe check.
And to see the madness, check out our YouTube channel, where video footage from all current episodes are posted weekly.
You can follow me at Real Donniewood on Instagram and all other social media platforms.
And if you want more of my personal brand of chaos, check me out at Oh No Chels.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister.